Jerry Vines used to be the pastor of a church in Jacksonville, Florida. And he is a former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He went to college at Mercer University in Macon, Georgia. When he was a freshman at Mercer University, they had a scholastic organization there. And if you made straight A's, you got initiated into it. He got initiated into that organization. And at the honors supper, he was sitting across from the dean of the school. The dean looked over at Jerry Vines and said, "Vines, what are you going to do?" Vines said, "I'm going to be a preacher. I am going to preach the gospel." The dean frowned and said, "Oh my, I thought you would amount to much more than that." And Jerry Vines wondered what the dean would have thought if he gave his life to money. Would that make him a successful business leader? What if he gave his life to politics? Would that make him a successful civil servant? What if he gave his life to athletics? Would that make him an American hero? But because he was sold out to Jesus and he wanted to preach the gospel, the dean thought it was a waste of talent. You know, a city will build a stadium or a coliseum that costs millions of dollars. That's great. Good for the community. The community always needs a fancy place to be entertained. A city will spend thousands of dollars to put on a fireworks display on the 4th of July. That's a great evening of family entertainment, watching the fireworks go off. But when a church builds a building for worship and to reach people for the Lord, you'll hear people say they're wasting all that money on buildings. The people in Jesus' day had that same kind of mentality. In Mark 14, the enemies of Jesus are planning to kill him some sly way, some clandestine way. The hour of the crucifixion was nearly at hand. The friends of Jesus are gathered in the home of a man known as Simon the leper. He probably was a man that Jesus had healed of leprosy, because if he still had leprosy, he could not be having a party at his house. Lepers had to be isolated from people. So this was probably Simon, the man that Jesus had healed from leprosy, holding a party in honor of Jesus healing him. And Mary was there, and Martha, and Lazarus as well as the disciples, and many, and maybe some others. Within the circle of Jesus' friends, there is an enemy. Judas Iscariot. And there is an argument about cost and values. There is in this gathering a concern about values. There is a conflict over values, and there is a clarification of values. What provoked this argument was an expression of love by a woman in which she anointed Jesus with expensive perfume. Now, Mark does not tell us who the woman is, but John does in his gospel. In the gospel of John, we learn that the woman is Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. They lived at Bethany, and this took place at Bethany, but not at their house. It was at the house of Simon the leper. And they may have been celebrating Jesus is healing this man from leprosy and Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. This event can serve as an example to us to determine how to tell if we really love Jesus. One test of true Christianity is love for Jesus Christ. And this passage of Scripture can help us to understand how we can tell if we really love Jesus Christ. So the question before us today is, how do you demonstrate genuine love for Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, genuine love for Jesus is demonstrated by actions rather than just mere words. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees on one occasion, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." What was he saying? He was saying it is possible to say that we love Jesus with our lips, but live our lives in a way that is very contradictory to what our lips are saying. So our lips can say one thing and our lives can demonstrate something else. If we really love Jesus, then our actions will demonstrate that love. When Mary brought her jar of expensive perfume, she was expressing her love for Jesus by an act and not by just mere words. Love for Jesus will do that. So that's number one. Genuine love for Jesus is demonstrated by actions rather than just mere words. And secondly, genuine love for Jesus pays attention to what He says. Do you remember when Jesus went to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus on an earlier occasion? Martha was busy about making preparations to serve the meal, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha scolded Jesus for not telling Mary to help her with the meal, but Jesus said, "Mary has chosen what is better." It was better to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him teach than to get all bent out of shape working to get the meal ready at that time. And do you know what? Mary understood something that apparently no one else caught on to. Mary understood the gospel. Mary understood that Jesus was about to go to the cross in a few days and die a substitutionary death to make atonement for her sin and for the likes of sinners like you and me. Jesus said, "She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial." Jesus had told His disciples several times that He was going to Jerusalem to die. And for some reason, it never made traction with them. But Mary got it. I believe that Mary had been thinking for a long time, "What can I do to show my devotion for Jesus?" So she had this expensive bottle of perfume, and she brought it to the party, and she anointed the body of Jesus for His burial with it. She takes the most valuable thing that she has and she gives it to Jesus. This is how she demonstrates to Jesus what she thinks of Him, how much He is worth to her. She is filled with gratitude. She wants Jesus to have it all. It's a premeditated gesture of devotion and love and sacrifice, anointing Him so that she might demonstrate to Him what she feels. Genuine love for Jesus pays attention to what He says and responds accordingly. Thirdly, genuine love for Jesus will wholeheartedly pay the cost to give the best it has for Jesus. Cost is a measuring term we use to determine the worth of something. We appraise things according to their usefulness, their beauty, their durability, their excellence, their importance, their rarity, and so forth. This appraisal is that particular item's value. The most common way of appraising something is to assign a monetary value to it. This is not something new. We find the friends of Jesus doing this in Mark 14. A jar of very expensive perfume was poured on the head of Jesus. Some of those present appraised that jar of perfume at more than a year's wages. These men knew the market value of things. They were concerned about values. In the course of life, it is necessary to use and exchange items of value. In this process, there is the possibility of waste or of the unfair exchange. In a sense, waste is the same thing as an unfair exchange because it is the expenditure of something without a reasonable return. Herein arises the concern over values. Most people don't mind a fair exchange. Most people don't mind an unfair exchange if it's in their favor. But most people don't like an unfair exchange when it is to their loss, when it costs them something. For one thing, people don't like to be cheated. And on the other hand, not many people can afford very many losses. Losses mean sacrifices. Sacrifices can be made, and most people will make sacrifices for a good reason. However, loss and sacrifice for unjustified reasons are hard to accept. The friends of Jesus were concerned about the value of things. There's nothing wrong with that. We have a responsibility before God to be good stewards of whatever we have, be it our money, our possessions, our talents, even our own lives. This concern about values caused a conflict. Mary came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke that jar and poured the perfume on the head of Jesus. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. Here is a conflict about values. The conflict involves the use of something of great value. There's a sharp disagreement about the way an expensive bottle of perfume was used. Mary chose to use that jar of expensive perfume to anoint the body of Jesus. It was an act of devotion. It was an act of worship. Perhaps this bottle of perfume was a family heirloom handed down to her. She could have used a little of it and saved the rest, and maybe she would not have been criticized. But she said, "This is what I have, and Jesus is worth the whole bottle to me." So she poured the whole bottle on his head and on his body. She didn't hold anything back. She gave the best that she had, and she gave it all. Well, fourthly, genuine love values the approval of Jesus more than the criticism of others. Some who were present viewed this act of anointing Jesus with expensive perfume as a waste, a squandering of something valuable. It was foolish. There could have been a better use of it. The perfume could have been sold for a year's wages, and then that money could have been used to help the poor. Whether the money would have actually been used to help the poor or not, had they done this, is another question. Many times people who complain about such things wouldn't help the poor anyway, and don't help the poor anyway. But they'll complain about wasting money, about the church wasting money. Jesus entered into this disagreement with a lesson in values clarification. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you'll always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. I would rather do what she did than have my name in the baseball hall of fame or in the football hall of fame. I would rather do what she did than win an Oscar for acting in the movies. I would rather did what she did than have my head carved in granite in a monument. I would rather have done what she did than have an iron statue of me erected in a park somewhere. Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Granite monuments will erode and crumble away. Iron statues will rust and corrode away, but the Word of God will never pass away. Her deed is inscribed in the everlasting Word of God. The critics of this woman evaluated her act as a waste. Jesus evaluated her act as something beautiful. It is not that care for the poor is unimportant or unnecessary. It would be good to help the poor, and those people would have other opportunities to do that. The contrast is not between Jesus and the poor, but between always and not always. Opportunities to help the poor would continue to be available, but this opportunity to anoint Jesus was unique. He was about to die for the sins of His people, and then His mission on earth would be over. This was a one-time opportunity, never to be repeated again. The person that Jesus is and the event that was about to take place made this not a waste, but a very beautiful thing, a very worthwhile thing. We know that this act of anointing Jesus with expensive perfume was not a waste, because Jesus said that it was not a waste. But that was a one-time event, never to be repeated again. What I'm concerned about is this. Are there some principles here for clarifying values for all times and for us here and now? I don't see a formula here that you can just take and apply to any situation and determine the value of any act. What this is about is the preeminence of the person of Jesus Christ and the timing of this particular act of devotion. It seems to me that whatever conclusions we draw from this story have to do with the preeminent worth of Jesus Christ and His mission on earth and timing. As for the matter of timing, we all have a limited framework of time in which we can do anything for the Lord Jesus. People who lived in past generations had their moment in time to do something for Jesus. If they failed to seize their moment of opportunity, it is over and gone. We are alive right now. If we are going to do anything for Jesus Christ, then the time is now. If this woman had failed to use that particular moment to anoint Jesus with her jar of perfume, then it would not have been done. It was her moment, and she took advantage of it. As it is, her memorial is etched on the pages of Scripture for all the ages to see. Whatever we do for the Lord Jesus Christ will likely be challenged. There will be differing opinions. Some people, no doubt, will call it a waste. What we need to remember is that there is really only one opinion that matters, and that is the opinion of the One who rules the earth and reigns over the destiny of all people. What does Jesus think about it? How does He evaluate whatever it is that we do? That is the only thing that matters. Dr. W.A. Criswell went with a man named Dr. Goldie to Nigeria to visit what they call clan settlements. Dr. Goldie gathered together the lepers. In that culture and life over there, if one was a leper, That one was cast out to die of exposure and starvation, and some of them were little children with leprosy. Well, what Dr. Goldie did, he gathered those lepers together, gathered them into what he called clan settlements. Here, and then way up there, another one, and then way over here, another one, in a great arc throughout Nigeria. Dr. Criswell went with him and preached in a church made out of mud. The pulpit was made out of mud. The pulpit stand, the lectern, was made out of mud. The one row in the choir, made out of mud. The pews were made out of mud. Everything in it was made out of mud. And those lepers there, to whom he was preaching, came singing the song, "The great physician now is near. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus." And with leprosy, the ends of your anatomy fall off. They rot and they fall off. Your ears fall off. Your eyelids fall off. Your nose falls off. Your fingers fall off. Your toes and your feet fall off. Anyway, a group of multimillionaire industrials came and watched the doctor. And one of those multimillionaires of industry, one of those corporate leaders said, "If you were to give me $1 million a day, doctor, I wouldn't do what you do for these lepers." And the doctor replied, he said, "Kind sir, if they offered me all of the money in the world, I wouldn't do it either. But I gladly am doing it for the love of Jesus Christ. For the love of Jesus Christ, genuine love for Jesus will demonstrate itself by actions rather than mere words. Genuine love for Jesus Christ will pay attention to what He says. Genuine love for Jesus will wholeheartedly pay the cost to give the best that it has for Jesus. And genuine love for Jesus values the approval of Jesus more than the criticism of others." Amen. Let us pray.